Take your Bibles tonight, go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4 tonight. We began looking at the guaranteed exercise program this morning. The guaranteed exercise program. The pursuit of godliness is the only exercise program that comes with an unlimited guarantee. And this morning we spent a lot of time on what plunders godliness. What is it that sucks the life out of the exercise of godliness? And as we stop and make that parallel connection with a person who is physically out of shape, physically struggling, or a glutton, we might say, or something like that, we look at their life and we would say, well, they love food more than they love exercise. They love they're lazy. They are not dedicated to taking care of their body. And the same is the case spiritually. We leave our first love in order that we might have some of the world and some of God, only that does not work in God's book. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so Paul told Timothy, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Refuse the philosophies of the world that are out there. The world will, the world is going to try to tantalize you in every possible way. As we've often said before, Satan does not show the end. He doesn't show the drunk driver hitting the tree, but he sure makes the alcohol advertisements with the parties around it and the beautiful and attractive young people running around it. He sure tries to make alcohol look good. He tries to make the pornography industry look good. He takes all the things that are inherently evil of himself and he sugarcoats them to make them look appealing, and our flesh loves it. Our flesh goes for it. And so what is the answer? The answer for us is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, to avoid that plundering of godliness. And we began, we then looked at the production of godliness, the exercising, the discipline that it requires, and truly it is the discipline. Let me just put this out there, something I wish I would have mentioned this morning, as I was meditating on it late this afternoon. I was meditating and thinking, okay, here's one way that we are to exercise ourselves unto godliness is how we use our spiritual gifts. How many of you remember the Sunday school study on spiritual gifts? Okay, a few of you. Good, a couple of you do. What is your spiritual gift, and have you been exercising it today? Okay, there is one way that we exercise ourselves unto godliness, is by using the spiritual gifts God gave us for the edification and the building up of the church. And sometimes that gift needs to be stirred up, Paul wrote to Timothy. And then we also looked at the fact in verse 6 of chapter 4, part of exercising ourselves into godliness is to make sure that we are and seek to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. This can only come through prayerful and intense study of the Word of God and a love for it. And again, it is not just the gathering of the facts of the Word of God. I think I've met believers that they In talking with them about their studying of the scriptures, they love to bring out the facts that they have learned. And yet, they were mere facts. They weren't, this is changing my life. It's facts. And that will lead to a puffed up mind, but that will not lead to a godly life. And so that's why I believe it's very important that when you immerse yourself in the Word, at the same time you are immersing yourself in prayer, that the Holy Spirit of God opens our eyes to the riches in God's Word. Now tonight, as we come to verse 8, I want to look at the profitability of godliness. And I'm going to have to move right along so that we can observe the Lord's table. But the profitability of godliness, beginning in verse 8. The profitability of godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Let's make our petition to the Lord as we seek Him, His illumination tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this challenging text. Lord, sometimes the spiritual dissection that You do with Your Word within our hearts, that probing is quite sensitive to us, and it doesn't always feel good. Lord, I thank You for this text as You've been working it in my mind and in my heart. But Lord, I need to know that full surrender to You and to Your Holy Spirit's working and leading. And so I pray that You would help me to respond to this text tonight and to be obedient to the discipline of a godly life. And I pray that we would listen with hungry hearts for Your Word. For Lord, You have said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. And Lord, we hunger and thirst for the righteous truth of this text tonight. I pray You would sift our hearts, remove any junk that is in our lives, point it out to us, and help us to be dedicated to following You wholeheartedly. I ask for the filling of Your Holy Spirit, not just now, but as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. The profitability of godliness, you'll notice here, godliness is not temporally profitable like physical exercise. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. And most of you have heard, you know that this point is not quit exercising physically. That's not the point of this text, because it says bodily exercise profiteth little, or that can be translated profiteth for a little time. There's profitability in physical exercise. In fact, the Lord commands us to take care of our bodies. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are not our own, we are God's, and part of taking care of God's temple means that we keep under our body, bringing it under subjection. Why? Okay? Why? Is physical exercise so that we can tell your girlfriends, ladies, I almost said I'd have one girlfriend, my wife, but it's not so that you can tell your girlfriends, I went down another dress size. It's not so that you can feel good about yourself. You won't find that in the Bible. You know why we're to take care of our bodies? Paul said, bring them under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. We keep our bodies under subjection and we discipline ourselves. Why? For the gospel's sake. Learning to say no to the desires of the flesh. And by the way, physical exercise can also be done in excess too. And I want to stress that. There are some people that live for exercise and live for the profitability of exercise. But exercise, physical exercise, is only profitable for a short time. And he's continuing, Paul is continuing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the picture of those who participated in the Grecian Games. He's talking about the temporal reward of physical exercise. Even the strong young men that took part in the Grecian Games would come to their physical breaking point. Physical exercise does profit for a little time, but someday you're going to die. And someday you're going to be laid in a bed, perhaps bedridden even, where you'll never get out of that bed and you won't be able to do that physical exercise. And when you come to that stage of life, you'll be tempted to say, now what profit was all that? Now it has its place again, and it is important to us that we take care of the bodies God has given us. But we've got to keep in focus, folks. Every single thing that we do ought to be for the gospel of Jesus Christ's sake. For the sake that Jesus Christ be glorified and made known. And so these Grecian men and these young men, these men of Ephesus, would practice in their gymnasiums, would work out with the goal of being part of the games, and all that came of it, if they won, all that came of it was a garland made of leaves and some temporal recognition, a crowd cheering for them. For how long? Well, maybe in a few years afterwards they would be remembered, but the next young athlete would come and take his place. And Paul says, of what profit was that? Of what profit was that? It was profitable for a little time to those young men. And physical exercise is profitable for a little time. I just recently heard of a middle-aged, formerly popular star who goes through deep bouts of depression and even is borderline suicidal. Because back when she was in her 20s, she was the top of the records list. And now, the people that know about her are probably the middle-aged to older generation, and she's a has-been in her popularity. We see that all the dedication she gave herself to had only temporal dividends. Did not bring satisfaction. And young people in the American Idol society that we live in, where athletes, where performance is lifted up, I'm telling you, there is nothing there but emptiness and vanity. And if you set your minds on that, you will be very disappointed. You will be empty. However, on the flip side of that, exercising ourselves unto godliness will pay eternal dividends. Exercising ourselves unto godliness will pay eternal dividends. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Let's test that a little bit. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. I wish, and maybe someday I'll do a series on godliness. The word appears 15 times, and the majority of its appearance is right here in Timothy, the word that we're looking at tonight anyway. The Greek word we're looking at tonight appears 15 times. Many times it's right here in the book of Timothy, and as well as in the second epistle to Timothy as well. But in 1 Timothy 6:6, you're familiar with this verse. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Isn't that incredible? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Because godliness is profitable unto all things. As you exercise yourself unto godliness, you are laying up treasure in heaven for all eternity. You are bearing fruit here on this earth. It is profitable in all things. It is profitable in your work, labor in the church. It is profitable in your relationships at home and abroad. It is profitable in your daily personal life as you abide with Christ. Why? Because it promotes growth spiritually. And as you grow spiritually and become spiritually productive, you are again laying up eternal treasures in heaven. There is a lot more we could spend on that. We need to keep moving, though. Notice the promise of godliness. And this is coupled with the profitability of godliness. It's profitable because of these promises. Having promises of the life that now is and that which is to come. And that's basically what I was just spending time on. It profits in this life, the life that now is. Godliness is the abundant life that Jesus Christ wants us to live. Remember, he said, he that hath me hath life, hath the Son hath life, and says he'll have life more abundantly. This is the abundant life, the pursuit of godliness, the pursuit of seeking all, to do all for God's glory. Jesus said concerning this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He's saying you're exercising yourself unto godliness, and yet you'll find that as you take my yoke upon you, and as you pursue this exercise, you're going to find that that is abundant life. Didn't Jesus say that in another way when he said that, I'm summarizing it here, but in order for you to truly live, you have to die? You have to die to yourself. In death is truly life. In death to self. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so it is profitable in this life as we abide in Christ, walk with Him, produce fruit, and then obviously, as mentioned, it profits for all eternity as promise for the life which is to come as we receive the eternal rewards from our Lord. And here, well done, good and faithful servant. And then last but not least, in verses 9 through 11, let's look at the priority of godliness. We could develop it a whole lot more, but I especially focus on verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or all acceptance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. In other words, the Lord is saying here that those who exercise themselves unto godliness reveal that they have taken hold of God's promises by faith. The self-denial or spiritual discipline that exercising ourselves to godliness requires is all worth the sacrifice. It is worthy of all acceptance. Paul was writing this from experience, because Paul himself, with all the things he went through, could write, "Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing." Paul, with all the trials he faced, everything, could say, "Be anxious for nothing." Yes, you know why? Because he had exercised himself into godliness. And he found that that was the life worthy of living. Is disciplining myself to be godly, to be pleasing in God's sight, to do all things in order that God would be glorified. And he says that going through this, you know, it's okay that we labor and suffer the reproach of men in verse 10. For therefore, in this pursuit of godliness, we labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. There's the key. You see, in order to live the life of godliness, it requires faith. It requires walking by faith. And that's what trust is. We trust in the living God who's given me the promises in this life, who's given me the promises for eternity. My mind is on God's promises. I'm pursuing Him in this by exercising myself unto godliness. And Paul commands Timothy, these things command and teach. So if godliness is profitable unto all things, then it ought to be a priority in our preaching and in our pulpits. And yet you don't hear many sermons on spiritual discipline anymore. You don't find that Christians are dedicated to spiritual discipline anymore. It's a lost, truth in a sense. It's been forsaken. Because in the day in which we live, everything is about me feeling good and me looking good. And as a result, we have a lot of believers who are still in the baby stage. And as we now transfer our minds towards the Lord's table, Paul said, I labor and I suffer reproach, but it's worth the labor and the reproach. As the Lord Jesus teaches us, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You know why Jesus could endure the cross? Because He had exercised Himself into godliness. And He claimed the promise and its profitability as He thought of the joy that was set before Him. There's a lot more we could say. If I could just sum up, I'm going to run down through a brief list here. Regarding godliness, this would be a good series someday I might develop. But 1 Timothy 2:2, we see we're to pray for those in authority so that we might have the freedom to be godly, so that we might be able to exercise openly and freely godly living. In chapter 3, verse 16, we see godliness was exemplified by the life of our Savior. In chapter 4, verse 7, what we looked at today, we saw it's a disciplined pursuit. It's profitable in every situation. In chapter 6 and verse 3, it is the desired action out of those who listen to biblical doctrine. In verse 5 of chapter 6, it's not measured by a person's earthly possessions or lack of earthly possessions. That's the passage where it says, supposing that gain is godliness, or acquiring of goods is godliness, or acquiring... I just recently heard of a Christian movie that brought in $35 million to that church that put it out. And every time they put out a movie, I have heard of them boasting about the millions of dollars it brought in and saying, God has blessed this movie. And I want to tell you, gain is not a sign of godliness. Chapter 6, verse 11, the pursuit of godliness is part of our commission as warriors for the faith of Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do? Cast off the hindrances, both the evil and those that may not be inherently evil, but slow down our pace in this race, that slow us down from or keep us from serving with all our hearts. Claim God's promises, intensely fill your life with that which tends to godliness, being nourished up in the words of faith and of doctrine. Why? Because the pursuit of godliness is the only exercise program that comes with an unlimited guarantee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I Again, it is not necessarily easy. But Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. That is what we aim at in this pursuit of godliness, in the exercising ourselves, disciplining ourselves. It truly is a death to self. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that in the race before us, even from January 1st through next year's December 31st, Lord, help us to pursue godliness, not just ending a year from now, but until we see our Savior's face. Lord, help us to count all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that this year would find us being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Lord, I pray for my preaching in the year to come. I pray it would be that which nourishes up our faith, and that it would be filled with good doctrine. Lord, keep me and lead me into a deeper walk with you and deeper knowledge of your word. And I pray you'd protect our Sunday school classes and our every part of this church ministry. May it all point to the gospel of Christ. And I pray that you would help us to grow more mature in our pursuit of godliness this year. And as we now set our minds toward the Lord's table, I pray again, may we boast of Calvary and Calvary alone, not of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.